Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to try to do my best. First of all, the Shaykh just began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prayers and peace on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said in the Quran that he created us from a single male and a female and then made us clans and people, tribes and nations, diversified us, but then told us that the criterion by which we would be judged is taqwa or piety, conscious awareness of Allah, adherence to his way, that was what made us noble. And that the more piety we had, the more noble we became as a people. And so this verse basically eliminated the idea that people have superiority for any other incidental reason, whether it's race or color or wealth or beauty or some stature that they have or position that they have, authority, whatever. It reduced all of our characteristics to one defining quality that humans have, which is piety. And this is based upon action. It is the actions that determine people's status with God, how you behave and how you act. And do you act according to the principles that were laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so then he said what we should be doing is acting. And one of the things that he said, there are many different groups here and representative of different tribes and peoples and races, but we've come together here. And he said that what we should do is be calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is one of the great gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is that we become du'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that this is not just for the men, but this is also for the women. And he said that the women have an important role to play. For instance, one of the most important things is that they are really the caretakers of the next generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted the women folk with the raising of children, and that it is this example that they set, and the famous statement, the Arab proverb, that the woman is the school, she is the madrasa, and that it's the example that a woman sets down for her children that will have an indelible impact on those children throughout their lives. So if they see the women are upright, if they see that they're praying, if they see that they're fasting, if they see that they're reading Quran, getting up in the evening, in the night, and doing these things, then the children will grow up in an environment in which they will want to be righteous themselves. And he said his own example, he said, I come from a family in which both my parents were illiterate. And he said, but their illiteracy in no way defined them as Muslims, that they were very, very devout Muslims. May Allah have mercy on them. And he said, particularly my mother, he said, I grew up in a house in which my mother was devoted to Islam. And I remember when I was a young man, we went to Egypt, and my mother was already in her 80s, and she was dressed in complete hijab. And I said to her, Mother, you don't have to wear that cover on your face because you're an old woman now and people aren't going to look at you. And she said, La wallahi, I don't want anybody to see me for the sake of God. And she said, even if I was an old, ugly, wrinkled woman, I would still not want anybody to see me because this is something I do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he said that that had a big impact on him when he heard that from his mother, even though that she was an unlettered woman that couldn't read or write. This was her love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that we know from the ummahat that this was their state, that they did not go out and be the objects of people's gazes. And he also said that it goes both ways. When Abdullah ibn Maktum came in and the Prophet told his women folk to go behind the cloister, and they said, he's blind. And he said, yes, he is blind, but are you blind? And so he was just reminding them that it goes both ways. And so he said also it's a blessing for him to come here, because he said that when he was in Jordan, he watched the television program that Sheikh Hamza did on the television. He said he used to watch this program. He followed it every day. And he said that he made a dua, Allah, may you not cause me to die before I meet this person. And so he said it's just really a blessing from Allah that he answered that dua to come here. And he said that he was talking with his daughter and his son-in-law, Saad, over the internet, and they could see each other. And she said, Abshir, you know, take good glad tidings, my father, because the children, your grandchildren, are studying in his school here. And so he was very happy to hear that. And then he heard his grandson recite La Aqsimu Bihadha al-Balad that he had learned here with our blessed Qari Omar. May Allah preserve and protect him and increase him. And so he said it was really a blessing to come here and see that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اعملوا, you know, act. Let's see you act. And Allah will watch your behavior and, or your actions. And the messenger will watch your actions. And the believers will watch your actions. And so Allah is telling us that this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be acting. And then He's also reminding us that He is the one who is watching our actions, who's observing all of our actions and seeing what we do for this time that's allotted to us. And then He said also that it's a blessing that since a young man, he learned the Quran, memorized the Quran and studied and had this desire that he grew up in this environment. And then he actually ended up becoming one of the people who judges the Quran. And so he has this position today. He goes to different Quran competitions and he actually judges the quality and level of their ability with the Quran, their memorization, their excellence in the ahkam of the Quran. And he said that he was also involved in developing some materials that they use in their madrasas that he's going to send to us so that perhaps that he said if it's useful for us, then we could use that. And then he also wanted to finish it by, he said he wanted to remind you of the age that we're living in. He said, this age, you have to take care of your children. He said, even though my son is 35 years old, I still worry about him because this is an age of fitan. And he said that this global culture that is permeating the world, that's spreading their pornography and their foulness all over the planet. He said that the people are getting caught up in this immense tidal wave of corruption and of things that affect the human heart and take them away from their purity and their purpose in life. And he said that you really have to see the sickness of these things, see it for what it is, and then hold to the Quran, hold to the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Learn them, teach them to others, teach them to your children, and go out and spread this message of light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because he said, we're in the presence of an immense current that is taking people and literally just taking them to the worst aspects of themselves, corrupting them and polluting their thoughts and their hearts and their minds. And he said that he worries about his children, his grandchildren. He said even though his son is a very upright person, he reads the Quran while he's driving his car. He reads the Quran constantly. And he said despite that, just because the level of the fitan that we're living in, the constant bombardment of these messages out there that are corrupting the human heart, affecting people. He said, really to be aware of that and to be part of the struggle against that, to go against the current, to go against the tide, it takes a lot of spiritual power. And so he said, but we've been given this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran and adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also mentioned of inculcating love of Quran in our children and love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our children is really one of the antidotes for all of this madness out there. And he also wanted to say that he was very honored to be here and to receive, you know, this little symbol of our love for the Shaykh. And I want to thank Sidi Ismail Nas for really, he was aware of the Shaykh's fadl and wanted us to all benefit from it. So it's really because he took that in himself to do that. We're here today and this is a blessed gathering. And it's doubly blessed because we're honored by Sheikh Muhammad al-Yaqubi, who whenever he comes to Zaytuna, he brings the good that he has and the light that he has to our presence. And also Sharif Idris, who was ill, may Allah give him complete recovery. He's still feeling a little down, but he said it felt good to come here. And then when he saw Sheikh Muhammad, he didn't know he was going to be here. And then Sheikh Muhammad Abu Shusha. So I want to really remind all of you that sick people have a right. It's haqq al-Muslim al-Muslim. They have a right. You know, when people get ill, they have a right on their Muslim brother. It's a haqq, it's a right. And if that right is not fulfilled, then you're oppressing the people. And so it's really important as a community for us to be aware. You know, we should be praying for these people as a community. I mean, even the non-Muslim Dr. Dosi had a book called Healing Words, which I read. It's a really interesting book. There were studies done about Christian studies, about people praying and getting better because people prayed for them. And they did them as double-blind studies, like scientific evidence of people just getting better because other people were praying for them. And I mean, if that's people that don't have the access that we have, I mean, we, you know, even the idolaters get provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody has access to God in that way. But Muslims, we have an access nobody else has. You know, we really, I mean, Allah has blessed this community with that. And we don't say that out of arrogance. It's just a gift from Allah. And we believe that. It's not any way putting ourselves over other religions or other people. It's a gift from Allah. Yuti fadruhum man yasha. It's a gift to have the gift that the Muslims have of prayer directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also by through the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's important just that we take care of our sick people. Just pray for them, you know, really. Just pray. Get up in the night. Just pray that Allah heals these people, you know, and He removed their affliction. And then when you're sick, you know, Allah will have somebody pray for you, because we know the hadith. And that's not why you should do it. I'm not saying that's why you, that's just one of the benefits of it. You know, that's not why you should do it. You should just do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it shouldn't always be nafsi nafsi. I mean, I was at the Kaaba and there was all these people. I just kept hearing them say, me, 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 me. Everybody's praying, which is fine. I'm not faulting them, you know. But the thing that really struck me about Islam is that there's a hadith, and it's one of my favorite hadiths. It's a hadith in which Allah told us that whoever prays for his brother, there's angels that pray for him that say, وَلَكَ الْمِثَلُ. You have the same as you're asking for your brother. You know, I mean, if you've got angels praying for you, why should you be praying for yourself? You know, just pray for other people. And then you've got angels whose prayers are a lot more guaranteed to get answered than yours are. And they're saying, وَلَكَ الْمِثَلُ, you know, and you have the same as you're asking for them. So we should not forget, you know, it's all nafsi nafsi. This age is nafsi nafsi, you know, and nafsi nafsi is for Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it's only for Yawm al-Qiyamah just to show who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to everybody else. And that's why it's nafsi nafsi, because even the prophets have to say nafsi nafsi. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the only one that doesn't say nafsi nafsi, because he never said nafsi nafsi. He's always thinking about other people. So just think about other people. You know, I mean, it really, it's just the only thing that makes being on life on earth is only bearable, you know, because there's other people. The French existentialist, he said, hell is other people. You know, that's Sartre, Jean-Paul Sartre. He said, hell is other people. That's their problem. Jannah is other people. You know, paradise is other people. Just people that care for each other, you know. So it's really important just to remember that people get sick in our community. And they should, you know, we should have the just common human decency. You know, I know people, I swear to God, if their dogs get sick, you know, they take them to hospital, they get veterinarian to look at, they pay a lot of for a dog. And we've got people in our community that get sick and people don't even know it, you know, don't visit them, you know. It's just really important, because or else there's no meaning to community. There's just no meaning to community, you know, if we're not caring about each other and taking care of each other. And people, I know people are busy. We're all busy. You know, busy is never an excuse in my book, because we all have time for the newspaper. We have time for Time and Newsweek. People have time for television. Seriously, you ask yourselves what you're doing with your lives and tell me how busy you are. You have time to go down to Starbucks and have a coffee, you know. So you should just have some time just to find out how people are doing. So anyway, I apologize. You know, it's just something really troubles me, and it happens too often. So I'd really appreciate if people just have a little more considerate. But I really apologize. It wasn't my intention to do that. And I'm very happy that Sheikh Muhammad, we also, Nuhannihi, may Allah bless his marriage. May Allah increase him always. May Allah increase his knowledge. May Allah increase his presence. And inshallah, give us the benefit and also the adab to be with our scholars, you know, because we really need to improve our adab, all of us. You know, I put myself first and foremost in that. So may Allah bless all of you. It's good to see people that I love and we, inshallah, increase. And all the women, may Allah give you shade on Yawm al-Qiyamah. There's going to be all these women on Yawm al-Qiyamah that are going to be miles ahead of the men, right? So It's all about akhirah. It's not about dunya. And that's what people always need to remember. It's about akhirah. It's not about dunya. And a lot of the women are getting, you know, a lot more mujahada in this world just by taking care of their children and doing all these things and putting up with us. So may Allah increase you all, really. May Allah increase all of you and increase your himmah, your aspirations. May Allah bless all of you. And inshallah, I'd like to ask the Shaykh, لو تفضل علينا أن يترو علينا بعض الآيات من الذكر الحكيم, inshallah. And then if Shaykh Muhammad has a few things to say on those verses, maybe, that would be also نور على نور.